I don't know about you, but sometimes I find myself rooting for the asteroid. Not in a malicious, burn it all down way. More like an exhausted sigh from the soul. Like a cosmic version of pulling the fire alarm at work. And not because you want anybody hurt, but because then we can all go outside and sit in the grass for 20 peaceful, sane minutes and not talk about quarterly earnings or meal prep. There's something weirdly soothing about imagining it all ending, isn't there? I mean, civilization. You know, the meetings, the emails, the political arguments between people who can't even remember what they were mad about in the first place. The debt, the grind, the dating apps. Yes, the damn dating apps. It's not that I want the apocalypse. I just want a break. And total societal collapse is apparently the only thing left on the menu that might grant me one. And I'm sure some of you know how I feel. So let's talk about this. Let's talk about why so many of us quietly, probably guiltily, fantasize about the end of the world. And why we've all, at one point or another, had a fleeting thought, like, if a solar flare knocks out the power grid, at least I won't have to go to my cousin's gender reveal barbecue. Because deep down, I think we're not really rooting for destruction. We're rooting for permission to stop pretending. All right, so we are, for lack of a better phrase, tired as hell. And there's a word for it now, doom scrolling. And it sounds cute, like a digital hobby or something. But really, it's 2 a.m. and you're in your underwear scrolling through mushroom clouds and genocide and political collapse and AI doomsday predictions and celebrity divorces, all with the same dead stare you use to microwave leftover pasta. So we've entered a phase of civilization I call apocalypse fatigue. And it's not that we don't believe the end is coming. It's that we've gotten so used to expecting it. We're now low-key annoyed that it hasn't happened yet. Like, you know, if the planet's gonna burn, can we at least skip the part where I have to go to work tomorrow? And, you know, this isn't just personal burnout. This is cultural burnout. You see it in the entertainment, I mean, zombies, pandemics, nukes, dystopias. And robot dogs, let's not forget them. You know, the end of the world isn't just a genre anymore. It's practically a lifestyle brand. And like we're binge watching societal collapse like it's comfort food. Oh, a new season of Black Mirror. Can't wait to be emotionally destroyed and spiritually hollowed out again. Though I do admit I enjoy Black Mirror. But here's a darker truth. We don't just watch the end of the world for fun. We romanticize it. And we kind of fantasize about it. And not because we're evil or broken or goth teenagers in adult bodies, but because collapse is starting to sound like a kind of freedom. It's the fantasy of the Great Reset. You know, no more emails, no more awkward Zoom calls, no more productivity apps, no more soft launches on Instagram. Just silence, trees, fire, a bunker full of canned beans, and nobody asking you to circle back ever again. So there's something seductive about the idea that we could all just let go, that we could stop pretending everything's fine, that the pressure to optimize, to be likable and build your brand, you know, all of it might finally dissolve under a mushroom cloud or a solar flare or a really well-placed asteroid. Because if we're being truthful with ourselves, modern life feels like a joke someone forgot to tell the punchline to. You know, we're buried under calendars, subscriptions, notifications, bills, side hustles, personal growth goals, dating apps, gym memberships, meal kits, therapy, burnout, eco-anxiety, student debt, social anxiety, career stagnation, and now we have AI coming to steal our jobs while simultaneously writing us poems about our mental health. And yet we're expected to smile through it and grind through it. You know, manifest abundance and hack your life and embrace the hustle and drink more water and take up cold plunges. And maybe you're just not trying hard enough, Frank. So, of course, the idea of collapse feels like relief. We don't want people to die. We just want a break. We want the machine to stop, and we want the game to end so we can finally stop pretending that we ever understood the rules in the first place. And this is why so many of us gravitate towards end of the world aesthetics. You know, rust and ruins and overgrown buildings, last person on earth vibes, all that. You know, there's something hauntingly peaceful about imagining a world where human noise has been turned off. There's something almost inexplicably cozy about it. And I think some of you know what I mean. It's like just you, the wind, and the ghosts of a civilization that pushed too far and snapped. You know, we're not fantasizing about fire. We're fantasizing about quiet, silence. Okay, so there's a version of the apocalypse in your head that's suspiciously tailored to your needs. And it's not nuclear winter. It's not roving bands of cannibals. It's more like everyone else disappears for a while. And society just calls it quits. You don't die. You just finally get to take a nap. And your rent disappears. Your inbox stops filling up with passive-aggressive messages from people who just wanted to follow up. And you don't have to explain your job to your relatives at Thanksgiving, and you don't even have to go to Thanksgiving. This version of the end times is just life, but a lot quieter and simpler. No FOMO, no social ladder, no more shoulds. It's just you and a cracked open can of peaches sitting by candlelight while the world burns quietly in the distance. And for the first time in your life, you don't feel behind, because there's no race left to lose. There's no burden to compete or succeed or any of the other bullshit trappings of modern society. And, you know, we're not crazy for wanting this or thinking this. We're tired and we're existentially overstimulated. You know, humans weren't built to absorb this much stress or this much information and noise and just general chaos. You know, we evolved to worry about tigers, not TikTok algorithms. And yet, here we are. We're wired, twitchy, trying to meditate on a yoga mat while our brain quietly screams, "The ice caps are melting and you're still single." So the fantasy of collapse becomes a kind of perverse therapy. You know, a pressure valve, maybe. I mean, the only scenario where you're allowed to stop trying so hard without feeling like a failure, because if the world ends, well, it's not your fault. You didn't answer that email or start your small business or get married. The grid went down and you win by default. So that's the secret allure, total absolution. You know, the apocalypse as a comic get out of jail free card. You know, no more career, no more reputation, no more grind set. You're no longer a brand. You're basically a person again. Maybe a dirty, stinking, unshaved, slightly feral person, but you're present. And the irony is that in this fantasy, the end of the world is less horrifying than the continuation of the one we're living in. A real nightmare is waking up every day and logging into a system that feels less and less human and pretending it's fine. Pretending you're fine. You know, end stage corporate crony capitalism is like a treadmill with a brick wall at the end, and we're all jogging towards it with a smoothie in one hand and a therapy podcast in the other, trying to stay aligned while the ground gives out beneath us. So maybe it makes sense that we dream of fire and flooding and whatever else, you know, or the lights going out, not because we want death, but because maybe we want permission to rest. All right, so there's a reason post-apocalyptic shows are everywhere and that they're very popular. You know, it's not just entertainment, it's a form of therapy. You know, we stream collapse like it's comfort food. You know, zombies, nuclear war, viral pandemics, AI revolts. You know, it's a buffet of global disaster. And we binge it. You know, not because we want to die, but because we want to imagine what it'd be like to finally live without emails and debt and without being socially obligated to like your coworkers' vacation photos. So, in The Walking Dead, nobody's worried about car insurance. And in The Road, nobody's returning texts. And in Station 11, people are performing Shakespeare in airports instead of scrolling Instagram while their brains rot out of their heads. You know, I mean, it's bleak, but it's honest. And, you know, compared to the dissonance of pretending our current system makes sense, and sometimes honesty, even in ash and rubble, feels like a relief. There's a reason why people say they'd rather fight zombies than go to work. You know, you look at the screen and you think, okay, yeah, you know, the world's ended and the cities are on fire and everyone's slowly losing their humanity, but at least they're not posting motivational quotes on LinkedIn bios. And, you know, it's not just movies, it's memes and TikToks, and it's jokes about society with 300,000 likes under them. I mean, collapse humor has become the background radiation of the internet. You know, we don't even flinch anymore when someone posts. And maybe the asteroid should hit LOL. And, you know, we nod. And we laugh. And we hit like and we just keep on scrolling. Because deep down, we're all a little soothed by the idea that if everything burns down, at least we're not the only ones falling apart. Apocalypse is like a great equalizer. All right, but Here's the thing. We forget while we're chuckling at dystopian memes and buying end of the world candles on Etsy. Some people are already living it. You know, in places like Gaza, the apocalypse isn't a quirky vibe. It's not aesthetic. It's not a meme. It's real. You know, buildings collapse for real. Children scream for real. There's no Netflix buffering wheel between explosions. And when your entire neighborhood is leveled by a drone strike, you're not fantasizing about societal collapse. You're buried under it. You know, in Ukraine, families live underground for weeks. Not to pretend, you know, they're in a bunker like Fallout, but because air raid sirens mean their apartment might not exist in 10 minutes. And there's many other places around the world in similar situations. You know, parts of Sudan, Syria, Yemen, hell, even right here in forgotten American towns that have been hollowed out by opioids and hopelessness. You know, there are people living in slow motion devastation. You know, food insecurity, displacement, violence, corruption, economic abandonment. You know, the apocalypse isn't pending, it's already arrived. And not, you know, with a movie trailer. You know, no synth soundtrack, just dust, loss, and real silence. And not the nice kind. So yeah, you know, we joke about wanting the world to end so we can finally breathe. You know, but for millions, the world really already ended. And they're still breathing through it anyway. Now, that doesn't mean your feelings are invalid. But it does mean we should hold our fantasy with some humility. Because while we romanticize collapse, others are really just trying to survive it. You know, in fact, some of the most shared memes on the internet are apocalypse fantasies wrapped in punchlines. You know, me looking at Zillow listings for lighthouses with no internet access, and when the world ends, but your rent finally stops. I mean, we're joking, but we're not. And, you know, pop culture, it gives us a safe way to touch the void. You know, to imagine escape, you know, not from life, but from pressure, the pressure of performing life correctly. You know, from the pressure of needing to have a 5-year plan when we can barely afford groceries. You know, from the slow psychic paper cut of being told this is all normal when, you know, it's clearly not. Okay, so here's the thing. We've been telling ourselves these stories since the beginning. You know, stories about flood myths, raptures, end times, etc., etc. You know, every culture has its version of the reset button. Because apparently even thousands of years ago, people looked around and thought, this can't be it, right? This can't be the best we can do. So we imagine the fire and the flood, you know, the great collapse. Because on some level, it feels like the only way anything will ever actually change. Now, the truth is, a lot of us are barely holding it together. And, you know, not, I don't mean that in a dramatic, screaming on the bus kind of way. More like muted emotional decay. You know, low battery mode. The kind of exhaustion that doesn't go away with sleep, because it's not really about sleep. It's about futility. You know, you do what you're supposed to do. You go to work, pay your bills, answer emails you don't care about from people you don't respect. You pretend you're passionate about delivering value while slowly Googling things like how to disappear into the woods without dying. You know, you're not suicidal, you just want out. Not really out of life, but out of this life. One that demands too much and gives back too little. The one where you're constantly being optimized, surveyed, monetized, manipulated, and more or less guilt-tripped into believing that if you're not happy, it's your fault. So, yeah, when you picture the apocalypse, it's not about watching the world burn. It's about watching your to-do list burn and watching the debt disappear and watching the calendar wipe itself clean. So, for once, there are no expectations. Nobody's asking what your purpose is. And nobody's chasing personal brand synergy on TikTok while their soul silently bleeds out. You're just surviving. Or maybe just being. So the end of the world, for some of us, looks less like fire and brimstone and more like a folding chair under a dead tree, silence, and the total absence of notifications. Romanticizing the apocalypse is less about destruction and more about permission to stop pretending you're okay and stop performing a role. And maybe to stop being emotionally responsible for a society that abandoned you a long time ago. Because, I mean, let's admit it. Nobody prepared you for this. You weren't raised to thrive in a hyper-capitalist dopamine casino. And you weren't meant to be accessible 24/7. Or designed to maintain 7 social media platforms Well, also being emotionally available, mentally resilient, and financially stable on a wage that doesn't even really cover rent. And now look, you may be a little bit broken, but the system is a lot more broken. And collapse fantasies are just your brain's way of saying, hey man, maybe it's not me. Maybe this really is just too much. So you imagine an ending. You know, not because you want death, but because you want peace, actually. And you don't know any other way to get it. All right, so here's a weird thing nobody tells you. You can want the world to end and still love parts of it. You know, the two aren't mutually exclusive. You can want to torch the systems that hollowed you out and still get misty-eyed over your friend's laugh. Or the way the sunlight hits that one cracked window in your kitchen at 4:23 p.m. in the month of June. Or maybe your old dog still thumps his tail when you say his name, even though his legs barely work anymore, sadly. You know, apocalypse fantasies aren't always about annihilation. Sometimes they're about subtraction. Like, what would be left if we removed all the noise? You know, the false urgency and the unpaid emotional labor of pretending you're fine in a world built for profit margins, not people. I mean, what if we destroyed the stage and scrapped the performance and just sat in the rubble for a while? You know, like you might actually start to feel something. Like your own thoughts, silence, breath, you know, like actual presence. And not the kind that gets commodified into a 10-step mindfulness app. You know, this is where the fantasy turns, where the apocalypse becomes less about collapse and more about clarity. You know, you get to ask, what am I without this job? This phone, this identity I perform so I can stay employed and likable. I mean, it's terrifying, you know, but it's also kind of freeing. You know, you stop being a product and you start being a person again. You know, one who gets to say no. One who doesn't have to network or explain or convince or promote or fucking sell something. You know, one who's just alive in a body under a sky on a planet that's probably trying to kill you, but at least it's honest about it. You know, maybe that's what we're really after here. You know, not destruction or drama, just honesty. In a world that matches the emotional weight of what we're carrying, you know, one that says, Yeah, you're tired. Yeah, this is totally absurd. You're not crazy, you're just awake. And once you're there, on the other side of the fantasy, you're staring into the scorched horizon of what's left, you know, you might notice something strange growing in the ashes. It's not hope exactly, it's more like space, possibility, freedom, the kind that doesn't require branding or bullet journaling or spiritual hashtags. Just space to feel and rest, to imagine something better. All right. So the world didn't end again. Another Monday, another missed meteor. You know, the grid didn't collapse. Your boss is still emailing you at 9:42 p.m. And that vague hope for a righteous inferno remains just out of reach. So now what? What do you do with all this gnawing, unspeakable hunger for obliteration? This quiet, shame-laced desire to just opt out of the simulation. I think you get honest. That's what. You sit down, maybe on your floor, or in the parking lot of a Walgreens at dusk, eating trail mix and contemplating the futility of your LinkedIn profile. I actually deleted mine a year ago. Never used it. And you say, all right, if I can't destroy the world, maybe I can start by destroying a few lies I'm living. Because that's what this is really about. All right. Line number one, you have to be productive to matter. Line number two, your worth is defined by how useful you are to the system. Line number three, if you just buy the right planner or the right protein powder or a guided breathwork course, you'll finally feel okay. These are really viruses masquerading as values. And, you know, you can stop participating. You can delete the app and call in sick. You know, ignore the hustle cult whispering in your ear. You know, you can also start by doing tiny things that feel a little bit like sanity, like standing barefoot in the grass for 11 minutes, not because it's a wellness hack, but because your nervous system forgot what Earth feels like. Like letting a single real emotion land without immediately repackaging it for social media. And if you want to go nuclear, you know, here's a radical move. Talk to someone like a human. Ask them what they're afraid of, not what they do, and not what they've been up to, just what they're afraid of. You know, it might be kind of a weird ask, but, and then, you know, try to tell them yours. You know, two people, no brands, no monetization, no agenda, and just, you know, mutual existence in a chaotic, slowly burning world, basically. You know, you may not get the apocalypse you wanted, but you can still dismantle a few things, you know, silently from the inside. You know, like a friendly saboteur, you know, you don't have to fix the world. You know, you don't have to fix yourself. You just have to stop lying. You know, that alone is, I think, revolutionary. Okay, so here we are. No mushroom cloud, no EMP blasts, or AI uprising. Unless you count your phone auto-correcting, I love you to I live you, which is honestly more accurate anyway. Still, something in you aches for an ending of sorts. You know, and not just the world's ending, but an ending to all this trying. You know, this endless effort, the expectations, the fake smiles, you know, the pressure to look like you're thriving while quietly Googling how to disappear, but like legally, you know, guilty as charged. You know, maybe the apocalypse we wanted wasn't really about destruction. You know, maybe it was about silence. You know, the relief of no longer being expected to do or be anything impressive. You know, the great cosmic permission slip to just exist. And maybe the reason it hurts so much to keep going is because we were never really meant to live like this. Chronically overstimulated and spiritually malnourished, socially fragmented, and deeply terrified to being bored or alone with our thoughts. You know, maybe the real dystopia is this performance of normalcy that we're all doing day in, day out. You know, the dead-eyed, I'm fine, when, you know, you say you're clearly unraveling inside. You know, the 7-hour screen time reports, or the fact that, you know, your neighbors have names you'll never know because you live in a pod and you get your needs met by apps. All right, here's a little secret. The world doesn't have to end for things to change. You know, you don't have to burn your life down to feel peace. You just have to stop trying to live someone else's version of meaning. You know, you can romanticize the end all you want, but if you really want peace, start subtracting. Subtract the noise, you know, the striving, and subtract the fake urgency, you know, the social climbing, and all the endless comparisons, the productivity hacks, the sterile, spiritually bankrupt rituals of modern life. And once you do, you know, you might find something underneath, something alive, something that was there before you learned how to pretend. Maybe something that's not very impressive on paper, but it feels real. Like a quiet of a Tuesday night with no notifications, like knowing one person who actually gets you, laughing until you cry about absolutely nothing. You're not needing a catastrophe to give yourself permission to breathe. You know, you don't need the world to end. You just need a reason to stay. And sometimes that reason is really simply this. You're allowed to exist without fixing anything. And that, I think, is the most rebellious thing you can do in a world that demands your endless improvement. So, you know, go ahead, romanticize the apocalypse. I mean, if it helps you survive, but just don't forget surviving quietly and gently and authentically is its own kind of beautiful ruin. Thanks for watching.